Okay, I think we are... I can never remember which button to hit.
Well, you just press the right one because it is recording.
Yeah, my voice is much bigger than yours. Have you noticed the little bars go up and down?
Well, you do have a much bigger voice than me.
I'll try and keep it quieter. It does get me into trouble. Anyway, welcome to Tales of the Whales. I got it right.
You did?
Yeah, excellent. Our weekly podcast of what it's like to have cancer and live with somebody... annoying and, oh, I've got hiccups now.
Somebody who keeps burping and hiccuping.
Yeah, which is all part of cancer, isn't it?
It is. It is all part of the fun. All part of the fun it throws at you.
Yeah. Well, I have to be honest, I haven't felt really very good over the past few weeks. People probably gathered. I actually, funnily enough, since Thursday, I felt slightly better. So I've decided that the pain... you're just going to have to get on with and just ignore.
Yeah, because I think that you've had a pain in your side.
I've still got it, by the way. It's still there.
But, yes, I know. Yeah. But I think you'd sort of convinced yourself that it was your kidney.
Yeah.
But it turns out that it's not your kidney. It's something to do with the tumour in your bones that's pressing on a nerve or something and causing the pain, which I think is probably psychologically a bit better. I mean, it's still not great, but it's probably better than your kidney not being able to work because you've only got the one.
I mean, I've come to terms with the end of life and all of that stuff. But I go through things saying, hey, I'm going to miss you. And then I'm going to miss Christmas. Well, you know, because I get presents.
Oh, that's a good reason to miss Christmas. Well, yeah, I mean...
I was being facetious about Christmas.
It was a pretty tough meeting on Thursday because Professor Tom has decided that it's time to have... the last shot at the chemo.
Yeah.
And just to buy us a bit of time.
Which won't be an awful lot. And I'm still in two minds. I think I will have it. And Tom said, definitely, I think you should have it. But then, of course, they insist. And if you're going through cancer, everybody will go through this. Then they have to tell you the possible side effects. Was it 1% chance of dying from it?
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
That's pretty small. Well, they're nasty drugs, so...
Yeah.
But you have to make the decision as to whether it's worth the risk, and I think you've probably got...
Your clothes falling off.
You've probably got a 100% chance of dying if you don't take it, so the 1% is pretty a risk worth taking.
Well, yeah. Because it's very difficult to say, isn't it? If the quality of life... is shorter but better not taking it, I would rather go down that route. But they seem to think it might be longer and whatever.
I think you just need to give it a go. If it makes you feel really, really rubbish, then you don't have to carry on taking it.
Yeah.
But it might not... I mean, last time you had a similar kind of chemo. This one's called cabozantinib.
Oh, you love being able to do this, don't you? You love it.
And the other one you had was axitinib. it's one of the nibs. You're having a nib. So,
your last time... come undone again.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's only pyjama. Will you focus? You're throwing me now. I have no idea what I was talking
good,
about.
Good, you were just giving the names of the drugs. Basically,
saying that last time you didn't really suffer much with side effects from it. You were on it for 2 years and you were okay, so...
Gosh, was I on it for 2 years?
I think so, yeah. That was on you on the longest.
Yeah.
And this is one's like that one, I believe.
I don't think this will do me 2 years, but... I mean, he's really... I've known Tom for a long time. He helped me start the charity and everything else with other people. And he's, you know, if you have kidney cancer, he's the person...
the guy to know.
Yeah. But it wasn't that good. You know, you've got to get to a situation when you have a terminal cancer, which I do, when they're going to say, we're probably on the downward slope. Is that a way of putting it?
I guess so. I mean, Tom didn't use those words, but...
No.
But if we do nothing, it won't be great, basically. Yeah. So we need to, you know...
So that was a bit depressing. Let's not get depressed now, because...
It's a sunny day.
It's a sunny day. You're going to take Daisy for a walk.
And we did our normal thing. We went for a lovely lunch at Little Italy after.
We did.
Which was marvellous. We had a lovely bottle of Laguna.
We did. And it just, you know, you get to that stage in life where, you know, you're lucky in a way, to be able to say, oh, well, I've got this amount of time. Listen, for 4 years, I've been thinking I'm about to die. Well, not about to die, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you've had it hanging over you, the sword of Damocles.
Yeah, and I mean, the possibility is that I will do maybe 6 months or something like that. So we've got to make the most of it. And I can't wait to go to work tonight. No, that's funny, isn't it? If you're able to do a job and you know, some employers are frightened of actually employing you when you're ill. News Corp have been absolutely brilliant. Talk has been, you know, in a way. I know it's difficult. Sometimes you think, why does he want to work on a Saturday night? Well, I have to, because you're a very expensive woman to keep.
And keep myself, thank you very much. I'm a working woman. If you were keeping me, I wouldn't have to be at work 5 days a week. You do take me out to dinner into nice hotels.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, which we definitely wouldn't.
I don't mean to sound ungrateful, but I do resent being told I'm a kept woman when I certainly am not.
No, no, no. How much money do I need to give you in for the rest of the week?
Not even funny. Your jokes are dreadful. You're the only person who laughs at your jokes. Daisy's really offended by that.
Daisy, I didn't mean it. I was not. No, I didn't mean it. Come here. Sit down. So, you know, you have to laugh. Well, no, you don't have to laugh. It's a reaction of a way of dealing with the stress.
Yeah, I mean, this was on Thursday. It was a bit of a sort of, not a turning point, not the right thing, but it was like, okay, we've come to a different stage now and we are got to deal with more chemo and the good little run we've been having is sort of coming to an end. But it doesn't mean it's the end. It just means it's a change.
Yeah.
It's just a change that we've got to adjust to again.
Yeah. And to be fair to doctors as well, they can't answer the questions that you really want to know. Like, what week do you think I'm going, or what month? Because they can't.
Well, he said you'll be around for your MBE next month.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah, because we've got that to look forward to.
Yeah.
We've got, you know, one thing at a time. So, first of all, we are going to go to Windsor Castle.
Yeah. I'm going away for a day or so with my brother.
Oh, yes, you are. On Monday, you're going to Wales.
Down to South Wales, see?
Going to...
Did that sound Geordie?
It's always a mixture between sort of Geordie and Jamaican, your accents, and whatever one is there. It wasn't too bad as well.
I suppose that's because I've been influenced by Jamaicans and Geordies in my life.
You definitely have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And St. Lucians.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If we don't mention that, we'll be in deep trouble. So that's where we are illness-wise. And it's part of dealing with cancer, but it's more difficult. Things like hiccups, by the way, which I used to think was just me being rude, now is part of having cancer, apparently.
Yeah, the hot flushes you're getting, that sort of thing. It's all
going through the change of life.
Well, it's just the cancer does weird things to you. But there you go. But we've decided, so you're not going to start your chemo tablets until you get back from your little mini break to Wales with Keith.
You sure you don't want to come?
I think it's a boys' trip.
Me and my brother?
Yeah.
A couple of old codgers shuffling along the seafront.
And you're going to be reminiscing about your childhood
sitting
trips to
on
Portugal.
A bench with a rug over us. It'd be nice though. I haven't been there for years.
I think it'd be lovely for you.
And then I want to go to Cornwall.
Yeah.
I think.
Okay. Cornwall will be the next one. And we've still got Chelsea Flowers Show.
Oh, yeah.
When I've got your wheelchair booked.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
So, you know, we've got all these fun things to go to.
Yeah, no.
Graduations and passing outs in July.
Yeah.
Down in Exeter. So.
Yeah. Oh, no. I must keep around
passing
for the summer.
Passing out's May, isn't it?
Yeah, May.
Yeah. So, see, there's lots of things to look forward to.
Yeah, and
you're not allowed to go anywhere till we've done all those things.
No, I'm not. I'm definitely not.
So we need to get something in August and September and October and November and December.
Fine. Okay. We'll sort that out. But just to explain for you, because you had a little tear in your eye when the doctor was talking to us. How stressful is it? Very stressful, in fact. But how do you deal with it?
Well, it wasn't great to hear that, was it? But it's just... No, I've recomposed myself.
Good.
I did that quite quickly. And it's just... I think it's just the reality of... because you can sort of bobble along day to day and not think about horrible things that might be going to happen.
Yeah.
But when you hear something like that and it's a bit of a change, you kind of, it just brings back the reality that what we're dealing with is pretty serious and tough, really.
Because I don't look ill.
No.
But except for getting those red blotches every now and then.
When you've got your little gnome cheeks, yeah.
Yes. Which I thought was just the fact I was drinking alcohol.
No, because it happened when you had some spotted dick.
Oh, yeah, your mum made that. It was really nice.
You'd special spotted dick.
Yeah.
Made you have a rosy cheek.
Yeah.
Only on one side, though.
Wonder why. I suppose that's all down to the kidney being able to, only having one, and that's got tumours in it, having to deal with stuff, isn't it?
Mm.
And I do eat rubbish.
No, you don't. Not really.
Well, not really. You don't. But, I mean, oh, I don't know. And then I was thinking of being critical of the NHS, but they are keeping me alive, one part of it, but another part of it was not. And just sometimes their communication between, you know, what your specialist might be doing and what other parts of the NHS might be doing does not go well.
No, and I think as a cancer patient, you have to kind of interpret things slightly differently. So, like, for example, A&E is really not the place for someone with advanced cancer. There is more specialist help that you need normally and that kind of thing. So, like, when the GP last week said, your potassium levels are high, you must go to A&E, we kind of, I mean, at the beginning of the journey, I think we would have gone to A&E, but we just like, you know, are you feeling all right? No, we don't want to go and spend 10 hours sitting in A&E.
No.
It's not, and you know, it wasn't that kind of emergency. So then we didn't go. And then when we saw Tom on Thursday, he went, no, these levels are fine, really. So, you know, it's not,
for somebody in your situation.
Yeah, it's to be expected and you don't need to do anything about it and there's nothing much you can do about it. So, but that's a sort of call that you know, that's like experience. You kind of get to know.
Yeah,
where you need to be when, and A&E is really a place to be avoided, if at all possible.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, in general, the doctors, the nurses, the clinicians do a brilliant job. Hindered, I quite often think, I better be careful now, they might start telling the doctors they can't treat me anymore or something. No, I'm joking. But the management do need to concentrate on stuff.
Guys, it's not about, we're not doing a Saturday night
TV show here.
We're not going political.
Well, okay. It you do get, oh gosh, it would be nice to be normal. When I come to think about it, I've never been normal.
No.
Have I?
No, you haven't.
No. So anyway, that's where we are. But it's got to be faced by, some people are very lucky. They get a diagnosis of cancer. I did 25 years ago. I had my left kidney removed and I never had anything since. So that's quite a good time, isn't it?
I don't understand that sentence. You just said some people are very lucky. They get a diagnosis of cancer. That sentence needs finishing.
Some people are very lucky.
That doesn't sound lucky
to me. They get diagnosed with cancer and it gets treated and it goes away and some gets cured. I've got this horrible habit of
going off at a tangent.
No, I don't do it when I'm working, I hope, but in conversations when I'm not really focusing, I have half the conversation out loud and half in my head.
Yes.
Which I've always done. I remember being shouted at in school once, saying, well, I said, I've just answered it, sir. You sat there and said, yes, and then said no more. But I had said in my head, I'm nuts, aren't I? I'm nuts.
Yes.
Well, I've got two brain tumours, so, you know, I'm entitled.
Yeah, that's true.
I've got them everywhere. But the fact is that I don't want to make too many people depressed. You get a diagnosis of cancer doesn't mean you are absolutely going to die tomorrow or the day after, which some people think it is. It can depend, A, on the cancer, B, how advanced it is, which is why getting checked early is a very, very necessary thing. Because most cancers you don't feel until it's too late.
That's very true.
So get checked, particularly if you're kind of 40, 50 age, which is when...
It can happen at any age.
It can. Even children, which is, you know, So then I come back to thinking, why am I feeling sorry for myself if, in fact, I am going through one of those little periods where everybody does? When, you know, the children's cancer wards all over the country are full.
Yes, that's very true. I think you're definitely affected by the weather. Earlier in the week when it was just grey days and it was raining, yeah, you get really quite glum.
And I don't talk much.
That's nonsense.
That must be terrible.
That's rubbish.
Is it?
Yeah. You never stop talking. You're just telling me how miserable you are, but you don't stop talking.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at today.
Yeah, today's a lovely day. Daisy and I are going to go for a little walk.
I might hobble along with you.
Yes.
I might not.
That might not make it quite so much of a fitness walk.
Are you going on a fitness walk?
Well,
you needn't take Daisy.
She could do the little bit of exercise.
She could, but she'll get to the pub down the road and then she'll stop.
She went further the other day.
Did she?
She was doing a few good sniffs.
All right. Yeah, that'd be good. It's funny how life goes, isn't it? Because, you know, a couple of months ago, we'd be sitting here doing this with three dogs.
Mm.
Life changes and goes on.
Yes. But at least we've still got one dog.
Daisy May. Oh, we're not calling her Daisy May. You don't like the May bit, do you?
It just seems a little bit
Daisy
pretentious.
Daisy Diddle-Doo-Doo. What?
It's a bit pretentious to have loads of names for a dog. She's Crofts Champion.
She's an old mongrel. What do you mean?
That's something like the Crofts dogs have lots of names, don't they?
Do that? Yeah, yeah.
I think
we better get on. Thank you for listening to the podcast. There is a delivery at the door. I haven't said anything, but I think I bought her something for her birthday. Listen, thanks for tuning in. If you're in a similar situation, there are loads and loads of organisations out there that can help you. Talk to you next time. Bye.